And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This particular episode is all about whiskey because our guests are Davin DeCargamo, who founded the Canadian Whiskey Awards, which are presented every January in Victoria at the Victoria Whiskey Festival. He's been writing about whiskey for two decades, tasting workshops all over the world, judging whiskey awards at a very high level. He has three books currently in circulation, Canadian Whiskey, The Portable Expert, Canadian Whiskey, The New Portable Expert, and the third book is entitled The Definitive Guide to Canadian Distilleries. And he writes for many other magazines. And he's been a very welcome guest on Tasting Room Radio. And at the last Canadian Whiskey Awards in Victoria, Sons of Vancouver, literally an upstart, took home the top Canadian Whiskey of the Year prize with a blend called Palm Trees and a Tropical Breeze. It also won All Rye Whiskey of the Year, Barrel Finished Whiskey of the Year, Gold Medal for Palm Trees, and a Silver Medal for Marshmallows Over a Campfire. That's another release. Here's the thing about Palm Trees and a Tropical Breeze. It was a limited release Caribbean Cats whiskey, aged in used bourbon barrels and finished in used rum barrels. And the tasting notes are wild. Bananas and pineapple and demerara sugar with vanilla and rye spice. And our guest is Sons of Vancouver co-founder and general manager, James Lester. And they were the first craft distillery to ever win Canadian Whiskey of the Year. Because there's lots of big boys in that race. We're also going to talk about their first release, Cigarettes on a Leather Jacket. You can see where I'm going here. It's a completely different game with Sons of Vancouver. Enjoy. There's lots of stories here. Here's a conversation with James Lester, co-founder and general manager of Sons of Vancouver Distillery, who are in North Vancouver, and Davin DeCargamo, the man who ran and organized and founded the Canadian Whiskey Awards. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the tasting room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The wine shop Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca.
How we doing?
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, man.
Davin, always a treat.
Yeah, for me too. A real pleasure. My goodness, you certainly stood me on my ear a couple of weeks ago. I know. I think it's like the dynamic duo of whiskey, you and Jana.
I was wondering, I didn't know if I was going to have to introduce you guys because by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Tasting Room Radio and the Mulligan Stew podcast and our Terry David Mulligan YouTube channel. That's what it is. It's all three things. We're covering all the bases here with James Lester, who is a co-founder of Sons of Vancouver Distillery, Davin DeCargamo, author, Canadian Whiskey Awards in Victoria. And we're going to talk about North Vancouver. You know, I know it says Sons of Vancouver, but you're in North Vancouver. I'm a North Vancouver guy. Did you consider calling it Sons of North Vancouver?
You know, Davin will attest to this. There's far too many characters in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of character, well, we'll get to the labels in a second. Davin, this was what year of your Whiskey Awards?
It was the 13th year this year.
And in those 13 years, I love this question. What's changed, good and bad?
Well, I think that there have been a few changes. First of all, the awards are now three times the size they were when we first launched them in 2010.
Yeah.
And secondly, the last decade has seen just a phenomenal growth of new small distilleries across Canada, and most particularly in British Columbia. And the third thing is that they've been around long enough that now their whiskey is starting to taste quite mature. And we saw evidence of that time and time and time again this year when one craft distillery or artisanal distillery after another won big awards. So it's changed very significantly.
All of a sudden, were you starting to see distilleries from other parts of the world show up, show an interest and want to be there in the room?
Well, we have had inquiries from abroad, but we restrict the competition to whiskeys that are distilled in Canada and qualify as Canadian whiskey. So yes, there others would like to join, but there's so many competitions out there. And our goal is to bring credibility to Canadian whiskey and to help people identify the bottles that they can buy and be pretty sure that they're going to love them.
James, did you see yourself with Sons of Vancouver in there? Did you see us that you were part of the Whiskey Awards? I mean, I know you entered, but did you have a dialogue about, are we just wasting our time? They're not going to pay attention to us. We'll just get rolled over by the big guys. What was your attitude?
Oh my God, Terry, this is so embarrassing. You're not recording this, are you?
Yes, I am.
We didn't even go. I wasn't at the awards. You know, we're very confident in our whiskey making ability, and we've received some, you know, very high praise from people in the industry before Davin with one of our earlier releases. And we're confident that we can make good whiskey, but we didn't intend to sweep the competition. In our minds, we discussed going, and, you know, I guess at the end of the day, I kind of make that decision. And I just said, like, well, if we don't go, we can put more whiskey away. You know, we'll spend the money to buy five extra barrels or whatever. It was a huge regret.
But you have no idea how much angst you caused us by not showing up. But congratulations,
but
man.
But somebody gave you a nudge because you jumped on a ferry, right?
Yeah, the next morning. So after the awards, we headed over.
Good Lord. See, your marketing your marketing people, they should have, never mind.
You guys, you're going to edit this part out, though, right? Right, Terry?
No, there's no editing, sir. Davin, the judging. How many judges in that room?
We started with 10. One had to drop out for medical reasons. All of these judges have had some experience in the past judging the Canadian Whiskey Awards. Yeah. We change judges every year, but we don't make a dramatic change.
Sure.
So these are the same judges that said that 40 Creek and Federation Oak was the whiskey of the decade a couple of years ago. And the judging is done totally blind. Nobody knew that a small distillery had won until after all of the scores had been tabulated.
Did Palm Trees show itself almost immediately in the room?
Is that a question for me? It's hard to know because each judge judges independently at home.
Right.
And I mean, it takes weeks and weeks and weeks to go through all these samples, you know. And so what we received was numbers.
Sure.
These are scores for each of these whiskeys, and the whiskeys themselves are numbered, so it's totally blind. So we can say, you know, 103 is the winner, and then somebody has to go back to the key and find out what 103 is, and the judges don't have the key, and it's so blind, it's impossible for anybody to fix anything.
James, I've spent my life in music, and I do know and the film business. And out of 10 stars, two of them will say, I don't like competitions for film, for stage, for anything. I don't like none of that stuff. I'm in this for the artistic endeavor. How about you and Whiskey Awards?
We're not going to change anything we do. We're going to keep entering. We might attend next year, but but for us, we're going to keep putting away the same amount of whiskey. And we found a magic ticket on the ground, and we're just going to try and keep doing the same thing.
Now, Davin, do you know how that bottle came about, that particular Palm Trees came about? No.
Only vaguely. It'd be better to talk to James, but I could say that it's not just whiskey they make well. So it's not a surprise.
I mean, the first whiskey was what? Cigarettes on a Leather Jacket, right?
That's correct.
How did that turn out?
I loved it. We didn't actually enter that one in the competition. We entered our next one after that. But I think that Cigarettes is one of my favorite whiskeys that we've done. It's also the oldest whiskey that we have, or we had at the time.
Sure.
That was a accumulation of probably 6 or 7 year old.
And Palm Trees is about 3 years old?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Cigarettes on a Leather Jacket. The other one, You Don't Win Friends with Salad?
So we started this rumor that we were going to release a whiskey called You Don't Win Friends with Salad. Although it doesn't exactly fit into the naming convention we have, yeah. where you hang your hat on a tasting note or you give the drinker a feeling of something. It was just a really funny name.
Actually, you know what? It plays right to me because I'm a huge fan of the movie Snakes on a Plane. Not so much. Not so much the movie. The fact that they decided to call it Snakes on a Plane, because then we knew exactly what we were putting our money down to go in and see.
Yeah.
You're doing this. You're playing the same game. I love this. I love this marketing game of just give them your thought process, right?
Absolutely. There's a company called Big Ass Fans, and they just sell really big fans. They're like helicopter blades for like yeah. warehouses.
Yeah.
And they're my favorite ever.
and it was called Palm Trees because?
We went through our oldest barrels, and we found about 100 barrels total. We found a handful that were extremely fruity and tropical, and I'm going to say floral, but really aromatic in a way that you don't often see sure. in rye whiskey or Canadian rye whiskey particularly. And so we picked those barrels, and that was kind of what we like to call our base whiskey. That's the, you know, when Bob Ross paints a canvas, he paints the whole thing white and then he paints on top of it. Those really fruity barrels, those were our base whiskey. And then sure. we built everything off of that. So we got some rum barrels, moved a portion of the fruity whiskey, finished it in a rum cask, and then moved it back. Did some more blending with ex-bourbon barrels.
On the nose, pit roasted pineapple and vanilla cigarello. On the palate, underripe bananas, allspice, demerara sugar.
Love that. Nailed the rum, bud.
Tell me about the release. Did you send marshmallow over a campfire?
We sent it into the awards. And to be honest with you, we were all thinking that one was going to win. It got a silver.
It got a silver, yeah.
I think maybe the proof, like that was a cask strength whiskey, whereas Palm Trees, we had to lower the ABV down to really bring out the rum notes, and to lose a little bit of like the woodiness to make it more fruity and aromatic.
Alcohol
so
by
I
volume.
Think that it was a bit more pleasing to the judges because the ABV was closer to 53, whereas Marshmallows was 62 or something like that. It was way up there anyway.
Yeah. Malted barley, vanilla. It's a vanilla bomb on the nose. Honey graham crackers, texture, lots of and mouthfeel. Yes, mouthfeel. And blueberries. With a palette of muffins, homemade muffins. Creosote, which is so North Vancouver. And telephone pole. Are you talking about an old, 100-year-old telephone pole?
Yeah. Like the more tar that comes out of it, the better.
Smoke and ash as well is in there.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've ever licked a telephone pole, you'll know what we're
yes,
talking about.
Yes, I understand about. That. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Happy to report that the Tasting Room at Hillside is now open for the season. Sales Monday to Friday from 10 to 4. The wine shop Monday to Friday, 10 to 4. The bistro is now open for the season. Lunch from 11:30 to 2:30 and dinner from 5 to 9 with the brilliant work of the chef, Evan Robertson. Make your plans, friends. It's going to be a busy season. For all the details, just go to hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Wines in Osoyoos. From January 3rd to April the 27th, Monday to Friday, 10 to 5, it's sales only at the winery. Just one last thought. Wasn't this the year you were going to join the wine club at Moon Cursor? Just give them a call at the winery, or you can find all the details about the winter hours at mooncursor.com. My guests are James Lesser, the co-founder and general manager of Sons of Vancouver Distillery, Canadian Whiskey of the Year, and Davin de Kergamo, author and founder of the Canadian Whiskey Awards. Davin, does it warm your heart to hear this dialogue about a whiskey in Canada?
Are you kidding? It's wonderful. You know, we're doing things in Canada now that are absolutely world-class. The large distilleries are as well, but the small distilleries are really just kind of leading the innovation curve. And James has been producing other spirits that are just phenomenal. And to see our whiskey that really can compete on the world stage, yeah, this is one of the things that I was hoping would happen 13 years ago when we had the first Canadian Whiskey Awards.
It begs a couple of questions, James. you have this, you have our attention, you have this adulation. You're now a rock star status. Okay, fine. Do you pay attention to just that one creation, or do you stick with chili vodka, amaretto, the gin, the quad sec?
Oh, we've been on this course for a couple years, Terry, where we are getting away from being an amaretto distillery and moving more into whiskey. What would have been, this is for you, Devin, what would have been perfect is winning next year. At this point, we're still really squeezing to get whiskey out. Whereas by January 2024, we're going to be putting out hundreds of bottles a month, or we'll at least have the inventory to do hundreds a month. Whereas right now, like it's just not aged enough. It doesn't meet our standards. We'll probably have three or four releases this year. But if this happened 12 months from now, it'd be a different story. We would be a whiskey distillery.
Well, you can always try again, but don't lower your standards, please.
Oh, I don't want to ruin anything, but we were going to retire as champions and then just not come again.
Of course you were. next year, will you be in a suit? Will we recognize you?
I'll probably be wearing a Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, that's right. Davin, you being an author, you've written about distilleries coast to coast. Mm-hmm. But you did proclaim that this was going to happen, that there was a movement afoot, especially in the West and especially in British Columbia, to pay attention to. You kept saying to us, pay attention to this. There's something going on. Do we now get a sense of what is going on, the structure of it?
We do, but there are two things happening here. First of all, we know that in British Columbia, many distilleries are making really outstanding whiskeys, and they're all heading in different directions, doing it different ways. Yet at the same time, we do see some kind of cohesive trend in BC. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see BC emerge as a whiskey region in Canada, where there are some similarities because they have confidence. They have good collegiality among distillers. They share ideas. They share barrels, for Pete's sake. And they work together. And in that way, each distillery seems to be getting better. I'm just thinking of that blending seminar that Gordon Glantz hosted at his distillery. And after that, BC distillers, the ones who were there, they all just took a giant step forward. And things like that are happening all the time. And I really think also that enough time has passed that they're putting out whiskeys now that are great. And there is some convergence on flavor.
James, you can jump in anytime you want. The key to palm trees and even marshmallows, whatever, is it the barrels? Is it the blending? Is it don't mess with it? Leave it alone and let it be itself? What?
I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here.
Go, man.
But the long story short is blending is such an amazing thing.
It's the art.
Yeah, you could have a huge stainless tank with whatever, like a 10,000 liters of whiskey in it. And
sure,
all of it would be the same. You know, the tank would be stirring. It would be homogenous. It would all be the same. And you could put that in a whatever, 50 barrels. And at the end of 4 years, 5 years, all 50 of those barrels would be completely different. That the oak from a tree comes from the top, the middle, the bottom of a tree, cut down in the fall, the spring, the winter, and the summer. And then there's like 30 staves that go around a barrel to make it up. And there could be any combination of those variables in there. It's not quite infinite, but it's almost an infinite amount of variables. And so blending is really the most important part, in my mind, at least, like what we tell ourselves here. It's really where the magic comes in. And people keep asking us if we're going to try and make this whiskey again, but it would be so hard. You know, Don Livermore from Weiser's and Heron Walker, like he says, you need 10,000 barrels to have consistency. That doesn't surprise me at all.
I believe he has those 10,000 barrels, which is why.
It must be nice. Must be nice. To answer your question, I think blending is the most important part. That being said, and having a good reserve of whiskey, I worked at a bourbon distillery 10 years ago before we opened, so we weren't exactly shooting in the dark when we started.
Sure.
Everyone that we have here is well has an incredible palate, and we're so lucky to have the crew that we do.
What is the democracy of the blend?
Like this particular blend, palm trees?
Just the blend. I mean, you got to stand around and make a judgment. Everybody has an opinion.
We go through the barrels that we have. Usually we'll set aside a lot. Like we'll say, like, there's 100 barrels here. Let's go through them and let's find out the ones that we think are mature. And we're not exactly looking for anything. We're just going through to find whiskey that that's notable and we think is around a point in its life where it could be blended out or it could be used as bottled.
All right.
But we'll go through, say, like 100 barrels. We'll take samples of the notable ones and we'll put those aside. And we'll come up with what we call a base whiskey. And that's sort of, that's the canvas that we build off of. That might be, it might be the fruitiest barrels, or it might also be just like a good amount of a solid volume of whiskey we could start with. And then we might use character barrels on top of that to drive that in a direction. And with recipe development, not just with whiskey, but really with whatever you're making, if you're making an amaretto or a whatever cream liqueur, it's important to know what you want to make before you set out down the road of making it. It's equally as unlikely and uninspiring to stumble across a great recipe. You're more likely to be able to come up with an idea. And we like to summarize it in two sentences so everyone in the room can get on the same page with what we're trying to make. Simpler the better sometimes. And then all the tools in front of us, all of those samples of blending, we try to drive it in that direction.
Sure.
A couple of things we might call secret weapons where we can use barrel finishing. We can adjust the proof. We can, stuff like that will help get us where we need to go. But it's not the be all end all.
Davin, what do you think?
I'm really impressed with what you're saying, James. I think blending is one of the greatest assets that you people have there at Sons of Vancouver. You are the only people in the whole world who have ever been able to put whipped cream on a Kobe steak. I'm talking about your peated rye. Everybody else makes it taste like mustard on ice cream. You people made it taste like something where the two opposite flavors just converge. And I'll bet you a dollar if you'd bottled it 5 seconds sooner or 5 seconds later, it wouldn't have worked. I thought that was it's the only time I've ever tasted peated rye that was actually worth taking a second sip of. It's honestly, I was so blown away by that whiskey.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Wines in Osoyoos. From January 3rd to April the 27th, Monday to Friday, 10 to 5, it's sales only at the winery. Just one last thought. Wasn't this the year you were going to join the wine club at Moon Cursor? Just give them a call at the winery, or you can find all the details about the winter hours at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. Their fourth vintage in a row is just being released. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher, at Mount Boucherie. Best of all, these wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. Number 4 Orange, The Odd Couple. Zed's Dead, The Crimson Crusader, which is a Carmenere, By Jove, Sangiovese, The Elder Vicar, The Eye of the Partridge, and there's so many more. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com. Our guests on the Tasting Room Radio are Gavin de Kergamo, who is author, of course, 3 whiskey books in Canada, and the founder of the Canadian Whiskey Awards in Victoria, and James Lester, the co-founder and general manager of Sons of Vancouver, a distillery in North Vancouver. And by the way, if you're looking for the whiskey of the year, Palm Trees and a Tropical Breeze, it sold out totally. There was only 178 bottles. If you're looking for, say, Cigarettes on a Leather Jacket, you're going to have to look hard. Sons of Vancouver's Summer Road Trip Across the Midwest Whiskey, when released on February the 23rd, sold out in 2 minutes. You might want to sign up for the newsletter. James, do you want to make the same whiskey year after year after year, or are you going to make the whiskey that the whiskey wants to be?
Well, you know, Devin just gave me this really great idea about mustard on ice cream, so I think we're probably going to go in that direction. No, at least for the time being, we're going to do single batch releases, and we do intend to have like a mainstay on the shelf, you know, that has the same name and the same consistency every time you go to pick it up. But that probably won't be for at least a year anyway.
All right.
We do have a couple ideas in mind of a few core products that we would have around all the time or relatively consistent, but we're probably a year away at least from launching the first one.
Okay. Just one thing about barrels. I'm starting to see in the Okanagan, actually in Okanagan Falls at Jack Meyer Family Vineyards, he's actually naming the forest where the barrels are coming from. He's actually saying where their barrels are grown. If you're going to
Wild.
say where the vineyards are, why not tell them where the barrel's coming from, right? It's a really amazing read on the back of a label. It's a very impressive, and he makes fabulous wines. I have a Davin de Kergamo quote. British Columbia is miles ahead of the rest of the country, said Davin de Kergamo, author of Canadian Whiskey and founder of the Canadian Whiskey Awards. We're almost seeing a signature BC whiskey style and the province becoming a whiskey region in its own right. Them's are fighting words, Davin.
Well, there should be inspiration to everybody else.
And what are you seeing? What's telling you all of this?
Well, I was just thinking, you take two whiskeys that are so different from each other, yet both have the same attributes. I'm thinking of some of the whiskeys coming out of, say, Stillhead, as compared to some of the whiskeys that you make, James. You can tell them apart, just knows them once, yet they're both heading in that same big flavor, but at the same time, beautifully balanced and showing, you know, considerable maturity, regardless of their age. I really think that people here are becoming colleagues and are taking their whiskey, and they say, "Oh, gee, that's a good idea," and then they try it in a different way. But there are similar flavors emerging. I don't think it hurts either that they're using BC produced feedstock because, you know, a lot of them are starting with similar grains or grains grown in similar areas. I think terroir may be a little bit more local than even that. But I just think it's like everybody has the same idea and they go home happy and think of their own ways of doing it. And they're all coming up with flavor with whiskies that really kind of, even some of the Sheringham whiskies, you know, they're in the same kind of vein as what James and Jenna are doing. They're all drinking the same Kool-Aid and it's good stuff.
Okay, James, before you answer that, just one thing. The rest of that quote said, it will be the first whiskey region in Canada defined by flavor. It's a really good flavor too. What are our flavors in BC? I mean, I know that we're dealing with kelp. What else we got?
Oh man, I don't know. You know, it's hard for me to say. It might be easier for Davin. I'm on the ground floor, and I feel like an ostrich with his head in the ground. It might be easier to have a bit more of a broader perspective. What I can say is the industry's changed so much. I'm sure Davin could speak to the first BC craft whiskey that was entered in the competition, probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and how much that's changed. The quality is always getting better, and I don't think the customer really minds if your product changes over time. But what's important is that it always gets better.
Very well said.
Audience, if you're going to write me and say, well, where can I get this palm trees and breeze? Where can I get it? You can't. They made 178 bottles, not 178 cases, 178 bottles. That's okay. They made it. That's what's important is that they made it. And then they had the wherewithal to up themselves as contestants and applicants. But there's more coming, as I understand, James.
Yeah, we'll be doing a different release, not the same one, within the next 2 weeks here.
All right.
The best thing to do is to go to our website and sign up for the mailing list
I
on the
did.
first page.
I already did. Already.
Wonderful.
I'm there. I'm there, man. I'm not going to miss the rest of this story. And I'm doing this interview without tasting any of this.
My God, I'm so sorry.
This hurts.
Terry, where are you right now? Where are you located?
Mill Bay.
All right. Well, the next time I'm over there, I'll tell you what. Actually, if you go to Clive's downtown in the Chateau Victoria,
okay,
they have one of the last bottles I know of.
Of course,
they're pouring it by the ounce.
Okay, fine.
I'm not sure there's much left in it, James, but I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure there's nothing left in it, but anyway.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Wines. Very much a part of the portfolio at Mount Boucherie is Modest Wines. Their fourth vintage in a row is just being released. The original idea for these wines was to have a house red and a white for their restaurant, The Modest Butcher, at Mount Boucherie. Best of all, these wines became incredibly popular and a whole new series took off. Number 4 Orange, The Odd Couple. Zed's Dead, The Crimson Crusader, which is a Carmenere, By Jove, Sangiovese, The Elder Vicar, The Eye of the Partridge, and there's so many more. The mantra at Modest Butcher and Mount Boucherie Estate is to celebrate wine, food, and laughter with an unpretentious yet professional vibe. All the details can be found at mountboucherie.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And if you're gifting over the next little while, consider picking up an Unsworth gift card that can be used at the restaurant, the tasting room, and the wine shop. They're convenient, and best of all, they're reloadable. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Davin DeCargamo, James Lisser, about to wrap up this edition of Tasting Room Radio. Back to the awards for just a second, Davin. There's a mention of some of the people who showed up. Waterford Whiskey, an ambitious terroir project from Ireland.
Uh-huh.
Two brewers from the Yukon. Amroot, a peaty Indian whiskey. Japanese
from
whiskey.
From Bangalore, yeah.
And Glenfiddich Maker's Mark, dozens of others. What a show.
Oh, the Victoria Whiskey Festival is fabulous. It's unparalleled in Canada. It's unparalleled. Well, it's in the top of all North American whiskey shows.
And how do you think it's influenced our region and our whiskey makers?
I think there's a lot of inspiration there. I think that they set a good example, you know, and I really think that the Victoria Whiskey Festival was the start of everything in Victoria.
Okay.
I think there was one whiskey club when that festival was launched, and now there are something like 5. There was there was only two places to get decent whiskey in Victoria, and now you can get it in, you know, half a dozen bars. I think it really has set an example, and it was a guy like Lawrence Graham who just was dedicated to and determined to bring good whiskey to the people of Victoria, and now there's probably more spinoffs to the Victoria Whiskey Festival than the festival itself, you know. I think it's done a wonderful job, and I think that people see what's happening. I'm talking about whiskey makers see what's happening in Victoria, and they get to taste all these things. Like some of that whiskey that Ashok brought from India this year was truly outstanding whiskey, made in a climate that's nothing like Scotland, and he talked about all the things that they do there, and you get some fabulous stuff. I think it helps that we hear about Waterford. We hear how Waterford is so focused on terroir, but then they pour the whiskey for you in Victoria. You can taste it in Victoria. And again, you can just take some of that in by osmosis, how local can really influence the flavors of your whiskey. It's maybe some subtle and maybe some isn't so subtle. So I think it's provided critical mass. Victoria Whiskey Festival has that it's just nourishing the growth of the industry in British Columbia.
Good call. Good career choice, James.
Yeah, I'd say so.
There's a guy coming your way. Sandy Burns is the technical distilling director of a new distillery in Saanich, and he's coming for your school. Is the school going to stay open? Can you still?
It is going to stay open, absolutely.
The distillery school, which by the way, would make a great movie with Jack Black, you know, playing you. Have you had a chance? Now, everything's somewhat settled down. Does it feel normal? What's changed in and around you, James?
We're trying to figure out. Oh my God. It doesn't feel normal. It doesn't. It's pretty wild. Everywhere I go, I have people congratulating us, and it's pretty amazing. It might have sunk in a little more this past weekend. After just like, it's just been a whirlwind since the awards. Like the last 2 weeks have just been nonstop emails and interviews. And this last weekend was the first time I could relax a little bit. And for us, one of the big conversations here is how to increase production. And I actually have an interview after this. We're talking about hiring a night shift. So if we could squeeze any more barrels of whiskey in, we're going to figure out how.
You don't have to do any more crowdfunding, I would assume.
It never hurts. It never hurts.
But, Davin, you can't believe these home movies. But as I wrote you this morning, I said, they're kind of herky-jerky and sort of you catch the light that you can, the audio that you can, and you're goofing around. But it worked. You raised the funds.
We did. We did.
You kept your head above water. And so I want to put one of those videos on this YouTube story, if it's okay with you. It's just to show how it works.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's funny. I kind of watched your characters. You cleaned yourself up for the next one, and then a little bit cleaner after that. And then you were kind of loose and just riffing back and forth like a comedy team. It was very cool. You sold the idea. Actually, people may not have been funding whiskey. They might have been funding you because of your passion and your attitude. And so in wine, if you see someone who's really interesting and engaged, you think, I want to try that wine because that wine's going to be as interesting as that person. Do you believe that the whiskey that you presented represents your personalities and your passion and everything you believe in?
Oh, that is so philosophical. I don't know if we go that deep here. We just like making good whiskey. It resonates with our values, I suppose, in the fact that we like to underpromise and overdeliver, and that's a lot of what we do here. We really shoot for the fences, but we're not big and fancy, you know.
Hey, who do you want to thank publicly? How about your crew? Anybody?
Absolutely. I'd love to thank Max and Jenna, who are business partners of mine, and both of them were instrumental in these last two releases, Marshmallows and Palm Trees, and all of our spouses, because they have been so generous in with their time and letting us explore our creative liberties at work.
And the funders, right? And the funders.
And the funders for all of the crowdfunding campaigns,
by the way,
especially the last one when we sold those bottles of cigarettes on a leather jacket. It made a huge change in the distillery, and that was, we were able to put down a lot of whiskey that's going to start coming out next year.
Are you going to teach this how to make whiskey exactly like you did in whiskey school?
Absolutely.
Oh my God,
$2,500 bucks.
Davin, they're going to come out like robots. They're going to come out like hundreds of new Jameses.
I don't think that James is capable of making a robot out of a person, but he certainly is capable of making a still that looks like plumbing school. I remember that first still, James. It looks like a robot, but I know. I think the attitude is going to change with each individual's personality. James, you are a bit of a character. You are a little bit quirky, but you do have a truly brilliant creative mind. Jenna, I feel the same way about, although I don't know her very well. And I think that you're going to create a lot of distillers who will go and do their own thing with the right attitude.
Just accept
that.
There you go. You promised not to cry. I have two things.
I got Sprite in my eye.
By the way, how's the room freshener going? You're going to keep making that? You sprayed something at the camera in one of your crowdfunding.
Oh, hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer. There you go.
During the pandemic, I think every distillery moved into hand sanitizer.
Of course they did.
And I blame it for the reason we don't have more whiskey this year. We would, but damn hand sanitizer.
Davin, last question. You got a book coming?
It's a little bit soon to start talking about that, I think, Terry, but
Okay.
I'll let you know.
Okay. And so James, you and your distilling crew have become the snakes on my plane. I am going to pay attention,
The mustard on your ice cream.
and I can't wait. I can't wait to taste. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it very much. Thank you both.
Absolutely,
Thank
Terry.
you both.
This has been one of the most enjoyable interviews. Thank you so
Thank you,
much.
mate.
Thank you, Devin.
Thank you,
Take
Devin.
care, bud.
Thank you,
Yep.
guys. Thank you. Congratulations. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And if you're gifting over the next little while, consider picking up an Unsworth gift card that can be used at the restaurant, the tasting room, and the wine shop. They're convenient, and best of all, they're reloadable. You can find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com.